This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Thursday, the 22nd of May. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. As you all know, Cyril met with Trump yesterday. Today's show kicks off with highlights from Ramaphosa's press briefing with South African journalists directly after the meeting in the Oval Office. He covers a myriad of topics, including whether the US will attend the G20 meeting in South Africa in November. He also covers why the delegation included such big Gulf representation with Ernie Els and Retief Goosen front and center. Let's dip into that press briefing.
We also discussed the G20, and we stressed that the G20, having been formed by the United States, of course, together with other countries, it's important that the United States should continue playing a key role in the G20, more particularly because I want to hand over the presidency of the G20 to President Trump in November. And I said he needs to be there. I don't want to hand over the presidency of the G20 to an empty chair. I want to hand it over to him sitting in that chair in November. And he is going to give serious consideration to it. In fact, I expect him to be coming to South Africa. And he, having realized the important role that the United States continues to play in international or multilateral formations or organizations like the G7 and the G20. And he, having said, of course, the G7, would be much more impactful with the participation of the United States, as the G20 would be more impactful in global matters with the participation of the largest economy in the world. So my takeaway from that is that G20 participation by the United States is going to be happening. John from the New York Times says about the positive disposition of President Trump that it was not so clear. It may not have appeared that way, but the issue that he kept raising, or he raised prominently, is the issue of genocide. And when he was asked by one of you, and thank God one of you asked, whether he was convinced that there was genocide, he says, no, he's not convinced. Much as he flighted the video and all those press clippings. And in the end, I mean, I do believe that there's doubt and disbelief in his head about all this. And I think today's meeting, and particularly when he heard from the other members of the delegation, from Minister Steenhuisen to even Johann Rupert and President of COSATU-LOSI and all that, they spoke from their own experiences and what they know. And that, in many ways, will have deposited in his head some information about what he's been hearing and seeing. And I'd like to see this as a process. And the fact that he and I have agreed that we're going to meet again, and we will meet at the G20. By meeting again, I'm not saying immediate, so that you don't say, when are you meeting, as you will be tempted to say. We have said we will meet again. And of course, one of the moments that we will is going to be at the G20. So that is a process to ensure that the new information, or the real information, may I add, is really sort of registered in his head. The issue of whether what he terms as genocide can be equated to the struggle. And of course it cannot, because there is just no genocide in South Africa. And an issue of how one looks at it. As they say sometimes, the shape of the mountain depends on where, which point or which direction you are looking at it. And in this case, we cannot equate what is alleged to be genocide to what we went through in the struggle, because people were killed because of the oppression that was taking place in our country. So you cannot equate that. All in all, I do believe that our visit here has been a great success. We've been able to achieve what we set out to achieve re-engagement with the U.S., to put the issues of investment and trade on the table, and to ensure that we continue engaging through the various other formations. It's good that his Secretary of Commerce was sitting right next to him, and they continued exchanging how our continued engagement will happen. So all in all, I'm rather pleased. I go back tonight having a sense that we have done well. I know that many South Africans were filled with a great deal of concern and fear that we will have a Z moment and all that. That did not ensue. And I know that you yourselves as the media, you wanted to see drama and something really big happening. And I'm sorry that we disappointed you somewhat when it comes to that. So, but thank you very much for having, for a number of you, come all the way from home to the White House. And I'm rather glad that they allowed you to come into the Oval Office, and that in itself was good. And they gave us a number of mementos, and I was given a book. So I gave him a book, a golf book, and he gave me a book as well. So that is good. Lots of reading indeed in the future. Right at the beginning of my input, I said, when I spoke to him, we agreed that we should meet, and he said, bring along with you Gary Player, Annie Els, and Retief Goosen, because he loves them. He's a golfer, he's an avid golfer, and he speaks about golf quite a lot, and he respects the South African icons. And he even asked, what is it about South Africa that produces such great golfers? And I said, it's the water that we drink, and I guess much more. Minister Steenhuisen said, you know, the environment, the atmosphere, and the food. So he wanted to see them again and to see them in a different setting, in suits and all that. Could there have been a better briefing? We didn't have the opportunity. Some of them just arrived today or just late last night. But it is what it is. And they spoke about their own experience. And it's an experience that we're not hiding. It is there. But what we did do is to present and represent our country, and we represented our country very well. Those golfers are patriotic South Africans. Any else even produced his passport, and one needs to respect that they sort of play on the global stage, but they still regard themselves as South Africans, so they are patriotic. And when they speak, as they speak about their own experience, sometimes you cannot just say you will tell things that just people want to hear. Sometimes you speak about your own experience, and that's what they did. And the way it lands is the way it lands. But in the end, I do not believe that it dilutes or detracts from the import of our message today. We were able to present South Africa, even within the challenges and controversies that have been spread around our country, but we were able in a very unified way to present the South Africa that we have, with all its challenges, with all its problems. That's what we did. The issue of AGOA did come up, and it's going to be further discussed, as I said, in the engagements that we're going to have. The Secretary of Commerce and our Minister of Trade and Industry and Competition are going to be able to take those discussions forward, including some of our proposals, which proposals, by the way, do incorporate the issue of AGOA, because we would like to see ourselves continuing in AGOA. And continuing in AGOA really is about prospering our continent. They even said that there are 32 countries from Africa that participate in AGOA from the mouth of the Secretary of Commerce, and that is so. So it is top of mind for them as well. So we want to continue with those discussions. And it sort of dovetails with a question that Sidi asked about if we were to do a separate deal with the United States, would that not amount to South Africa prospering alone? No. We always want the entire continent to prosper. And we always take into account that what we do should also include advancing the interests of our sister countries on the continent. And when we do settle down to talk about, for instance, tariffs, we are part of this Southern African Customs Union. So we will be talking about tariffs in that broader context, which means that we will not be looking at ourselves alone. We'll be looking at the interests of our sister countries in the sub-region, if you like, which is SACU, but we will also be looking after the interests and advancing arguments to prosper the interests of our sister countries on the continent. We are by far the largest economy, and depends on at what time it's measured between ourselves, Nigeria and Egypt, but we are one of the three big economies, and our general orientation has always been to prosper as we prosper together with other countries. So even as we do get involved in these negotiations, we will always have an AU perspective, a SADC perspective, and a general sub-Saharan perspective as well. And we got an impression that President Trump's approach to the ICJ is that, you know, let the process unfold, but at the same time to focus on peace building in the Middle East, precisely what we complimented him on. We said, we compliment you for the efforts that you're making to build peace, because we as South Africa also want to be part of that process. And we want to be part of that process even between Israel and Palestine, to be able to participate in a peace-building process so that in the end there should be peace between Israel and its neighboring countries, particularly Palestine. So the ICJ issue did not arise during the lunch. Elon Musk was part of the lunch, and we didn't really, you know, focus on the discussions in relation to Tesla. The only issue he raised is that he'd like his Tesla cars to be in South Africa. He wants to import them, and of course, there are tariffs. And the tariff discussion becomes part of what we are going to discuss between the DTIC as well as the Commerce Department. So all that is going to be part of a big discussion that will take place.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking, out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Every news outlet is carrying the Oval Office engagement. But if you haven't seen it, this is what transpired between Trump and Cyril in the public forum.
What will it take from you for you to be convinced that there's no white genocide in South Africa?
Well, I can answer that for the president. It's for him. No, seriously.
I'd rather have him answer.
Yeah, I'd rather answer.
It will be. Our president will respond to you.
Yeah, let me.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It will take President Trump listening to the voices of South Africans, some of whom are his good friends, like those who are here. When we have talks between us on the quiet, around a quiet table, it will take President Trump to listen to them. I'm not going to be repeating what I've been saying. I would say if there was Afrikaner farmer genocide, I can bet you these three gentlemen would not be here, including my Minister of Agriculture. He would not be with me. So it will take him, President Trump, listening to their stories, to their perspective. That is the answer to your question.
But, Mr. President, I must say that we have...
No, wait.
We have thousands of stories talking about it.
Sure.
And we have documentaries, we have news stories, and that... Is Natalie here, somebody here to turn that? I could show you a couple of things, and I would... It has to be responded to.
Yeah, sure.
Let me see the articles, please, if you would. And turn the lights down. Turn the lights down and just put this on. It's right behind you, Johan.
There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one. We don't care. We can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not? We are going to occupy land. South Africa, occupy land. That's who we are.
Shaya,
Who will expropriate land without compensation, whether they like it or not. If they object, they can seek refuge in America.
Now this is very bad. These are burial sites right here. Burial sites. Over 1,000 of white farmers, and those cars are lined up to pay love on a Sunday morning. Each one of those white things you see is a cross, and there's approximately 1,000 of them. They're all white farmers, the family of white farmers. And those cars aren't driving. They're stopped there to pay respects to their family member who was killed. And it's a terrible sight. I've never seen anything like it. Both sides of the road, you have crosses. Those people were all killed.
Have they told you where that is, Mr. President?
No, I'd like to know where that is, because this I've never seen.
I mean, it's in South Africa this
week. We need to find out.
You to get out of here. What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You are a real, you know, you're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes to be a reporter. You're not smart enough. But for you to go into a subject about a jet that was given to the United States Air Force, which is a very nice thing. They also gave $5.1 trillion worth of investment in addition to the jet. You ought to go back to your studio at NBC, because Brian Roberts and the people that run that place, they ought to be investigated. They are so terrible, the way you run that network. And you're a disgrace. No more questions from you. Go ahead. Go ahead, talk about that. His name is Peter something. He's a terrible reporter. Quiet. Let's go.
Thank you so much. President Trump, and a disaster from ESCA in South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, dear.
What would you like President Ramaphosa to do about the situation that we've just seen on the screen?
I don't know. Look, these are articles over the last few days. Death of people. Death. Horrible death. Death. I don't know.
To
pick anyone, white South Africans are fleeing because of the violence and racist laws. And this is all. I mean, I'll give these to you.
When you
say, what would I like to do? I don't know what to do. Just look at this. White South African couples say that they were attacked violently. And
President Trump, when will you go and see for yourself if it isn't
me? Well, I could do that. Look, here's burial sites all over the place. These are all white farmers that are being buried.
President Trump,
and he asks about a jet that was given. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, you are so bad. You're such a bad reporter. This is one after another. This family was wiped out. I'm just looking.
Can we get a response from President Trump?
What's your reaction to those videos, Mr. President?
President
Trump,
well, I think the videos are so. No. When you look at the videos, I mean, how does it get worse? And these are people that are officials, and they're saying that
kill the white farmer and take their land. That's what it is. And I have other friends in South Africa, I have people that left, one in particular that says you can't go there. He said they want to take your land and they kill you. It's okay, and they say it's okay to do. Now, we're going to talk about it, but this is a tremendous... Yeah. Look, this is story recent. Yeah. These are all people that recently got killed.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it can get any worse. These are... And, you know, the people that you saw in that movie, those are officials. Those are people that were in office. They had one march. They had a dance in your parliament, whatever you may call it, legislature.
Well, let me clarify that, because what you saw, the speeches that were being made, one, that is not government policy. We have a multi-party democracy in South Africa that allows people to express themselves, political parties to adhere to various policies, and in many cases, or in some cases, those policies do not go along with government policy. Our government policy is completely against what he was saying, even in the parliament. And they're a small minority party, which is allowed to exist in terms of our constitution.
A couple of days ago, speaking virtually at the Qatar Economic Forum, Elon Musk criticized South Africa's black ownership laws as racist and improper. While addressing questions about Starlink's expansion, Musk says the rules have prevented Starlink from obtaining a license in the country. That's despite growing global demand for the satellite internet service.
What about the international dimension? Now, let's think about Starlink. Starlink is obviously a very, very good internet service. It's sought after all over the world. It's critical to the front line in Ukraine. It has also had more contracts coming its way, and there is some evidence that companies are allowing access to it because they want to be close to the Trump administration and send the right signal. So Bloomberg broke news today that the South African government is working around the rules on black ownership in order to allow Starlink in, and that is being done on the eve of the visit that President Ramaphosa is going to make to the White House. Do you recognize that as a conflict of interest?
No, of course not. First of all, you should be questioning why are there racist laws in South Africa? That's the first problem. That's what you should be attacking. It's improper for there to be racist laws in South Africa. The whole idea with what Nelson Mandela, who was a great man, proposed was that all races should be on an equal footing in South Africa. That's the right thing to do, not to replace one set of racist laws with another set of racist laws, which is utterly wrong and improper. So that's the deal, that all races should be treated equally, and there should be no preference given to one or the other. Whereas there are now 140 laws in South Africa that give give strong preference to if you're black South African, and not otherwise. And so now I'm in this absurd situation where I was born in South Africa but cannot get a license to operate in Starlink because I'm not black.
Well, it looks like that's about to change.
I just asked you a question. Please answer. Does that seem right to you?
Well, those rules were designed to bring about an era of more economic equality in South Africa, and it looks like the government has found a way around those rules for you.
Ask your question.
This is your interview. Everyone wants to hear from you.
Ask your question. Yes or no?
Not for me. Not for me to answer. I have got a question for you about your government work and the amount of savings.
Why do you like racist laws?
This is not for me to answer. Come on.
Now,
you wouldn't be trying to dodge a question.
You have to ask the question.
No, you answer mine. I'm sure you can have that conversation directly with the South African government if you want to. I want to ask you about the total...
I can't believe it. That's not good.
BizNews TV on YouTube will be carrying extensive post-Oval Office analysis today, so be sure to visit the channel. That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back on Monday with more context on the global and local front. Have a great weekend.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.